Good hymns are those which once heard are remembered without effort, remembered involuntarily, yet remembered with renewed and increasing delight at every revival. James Montgomery. This is The Bright Forever. Hello and welcome to The Bright Forever, where each week we rediscover the power and richness found in some of the greatest hymns of the faith. My name is Andy Peavyhouse, and I am your host and guide on this, our adventure through hymnody. This is going to be a fun episode. This will be the first recap episode we've ever done. Today, we are going to walk through everything we've talked about during season two. We will also have some really cool extras that we didn't have at the time of the episode's airing and that we want to share with you now. If you loved last week's episode, talking through Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise with Faye Peavyhouse, my aunt, you will love some of the extras we have from that interview that we didn't have time for during the show. So without any further ado, let's get started. But before we do, do not forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us so you never miss an episode. So this is going to be interesting, because I really didn't realize just how much extra stuff I had been saving up until I started preparing for this final episode. And yes, for those who are just joining us, this is the last episode of season two. But don't allow that to darken your mood. We will be back again in the fall with an all new season of great hymns to rediscover together. I have been asked by a few people why we take off the summer and why don't we just air episodes all year like a lot of podcasts? And well, the answer is simple. I want to spend as much time with my family and especially my amazing girls as I can while they're off from school during this time. And it can be a lot of work. And sometimes I just need to take a break. But we still have this amazing episode. So let's begin. We kicked off the season by delving into the timeless hymn, How Great Thou Art, originating from the poetic musings of Swedish poet Carl Gustav Boberg in the late 19th century. This hymn resonated with Christians worldwide for its profound message of awe and reverence for God's creation. I drew inspiration for this particular episode from a recent documentary about the Wakari Island volcanic eruption. We reflected on the parallels between the tragedy's aftermath and the lingering effects of sin in our lives. Amidst the darkness, we often find glimpses of God's presence and his healing. As we explored the origins of How Great Thou Art, we uncovered its journey from Sweden to global recognition, including its adoption by artists like Elvis Presley and Carrie Underwood, and a myriad of others, and its poignant rendition by Teeks and Holly Smith in The Offering Project. In our second episode, we dove into the life and legacy of Methodist minister and hymn writer Luther B. Bridgers. Despite facing personal tragedy, Bridgers' faith and musical talents led him to compose the enduring hymn, He Keeps Me Singing, a testament to finding hope and joy in the midst of adversity. Bridgers' life is one of resilience and faith, facing unimaginable loss when a fire claimed the life of his wife and three children. Bridgers found solace in the words of his own hymn, "He Keeps Me Singing." His legacy continues to inspire us to find joy and hope even in the darkest times. Also in this episode, we had the pleasure of welcoming back a special guest, my mother, Janet Peavyhouse, who still holds the title of the most downloaded guest in our podcast history with her episode of The Old Rugged Cross. Our third episode fell on a very special day, Reformation Day, and we jumped into the enduring legacy of Martin Luther and his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Still talking about it 506 years after Luther's 95 Theses, we celebrate this hymn's impact on history and faith. We journeyed back to Luther's transformative moment during a thunderstorm, leading to his theological awakening and the start of the Reformation. We talked about Luther's translation of the New Testament into German, aided by Gutenberg's printing press, empowering the masses to read Scripture for themselves for the first time. Despite Luther's reputation for fiery rhetoric, he stood resolute in his faith, famously declaring at the Diet of Worms, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And his hymn echoes this defiance against evil, affirming God's sovereignty and eternal truth as our fortress and our strong tower. We talked about how this hymn was played right after the events of September 11th, 2001, in the National Cathedral. And funny enough, my Aunt Faye and I talked about how hymns step in and speak deeply to us in certain circumstances. And this hymn came up in our conversation. Check this out.
The Sunday after 9/11. I go to church, which is my custom. Guess what hymn was sung? Very first hymn that was sung. "A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." Yeah. And I thought, I'm gonna tell you my ugly thoughts. I thought, the adults have come back into the room.
Yeah.
Because that's what we needed at that moment.
It is so true that sometimes a hymn meets us at just the right time. Sometimes, and I've said this so many times, that we must preach the gospel to ourselves. Tell ourselves that we have been forgiven and given a new name and a new life. And hymns have a way of meeting us in those places and speaking deeply into our very souls. Speaking of that, we come to episode number 4. In episode 4, we explored the hymn, "Arise, My Soul, Arise," by Charles Wesley, where we literally talk about speaking to our soul and telling it to shake off our guilty fears and rise. Charles Wesley was known for his prolific hymn writing, penning thousands of hymns that continue to resonate with believers today. "Arise, My Soul, Arise" was first published in 1742, and it encourages believers to cast aside guilt and fear and trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. Highlighting Jesus as our eternal intercessor, whose blood pleads for our forgiveness before the Father. As a matter of fact, the opening quote for that episode was by Tim Keller, who talks about the fact that the blood of Abel cried out for vengeance to God. But the better Abel, which is Jesus, His blood does not cry out for vengeance. It cries out for grace. So arise, my soul, arise, and shake off these guilty fears. Mm. The episode concluded with a live rendition of Arise, My Soul, Arise by Indelible Grace, sung by Matthew Smith. Here is a special unplugged version by Matthew Perryman Jones from Indelible Grace, Side B, Unplugged, from 2008. An acoustic version of the song. Enjoy.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hand. All redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for every race, his blood atoned for every race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Arise, 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 my soul. Received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransom sinner die. I hear he owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry.
Episode 5 was recorded on location in Harrisburg, Illinois, while spending Thanksgiving with my wife's family. I love getting to see her family, and any chance we get to go up there is truly time well spent. While we were there, I decided to record our Thanksgiving episode. Count your blessings beautifully encapsulates the essence of gratitude and the profound impact that hymns can have on our lives. It was fascinating to learn about Johnson Oatman Jr.'s life and his prolific contributions to hymnody. While he may not have been as well known as preachers and singers of his time, his contributions to hymnody left a lasting legacy that continues to inspire millions. His story serves as a reminder that sometimes the most impactful work happens behind the scenes. Sometimes the most significant work happens quietly, without the spotlight, and yet still has a profound impact on the lives of many. The connection between gratitude and trust in God's sovereignty shines through this hymn, and it offered us a timely reminder as we approach the Thanksgiving season. Our next four episodes were pretty amazing. In our first special series titled Hymns of Advent, we explored the rich tradition of Advent and some of the hymns that mark its themes of the season. Each week, we unpacked some of the greatest Advent hymns in church history, reflecting on their words and calling us to celebrate this idea of Advent together, this expectation of Christ's coming as we journeyed toward Christmas. It was a lot of fun for my family and for my girls especially, and we loved doing the weekly challenges and lighting the Advent candles and talking through the weekly themes of hope and peace and joy and love. One week in particular, we discussed Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. After this episode aired, I found that the Hymnal Project had put out an album of lo-fi hymn instrumentals. Lo-fi, or low fidelity, means it doesn't have the polished studio quality sound of high fidelity or hi-fi recordings. Lo-fi is more raw, and it embraces imperfections, such as ambient noise and static and the hum of background conversations. Some people use lo-fi beats and music to study as just tunes to kind of listen to. It gives kind of like this relaxed feeling. And I can see why, because it's really cool. I meant to share before, but kept forgetting. So here is a small clip of the Hymnal Project's lo-fi hymns version of Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. It's really cool. Thank you. We returned after the Christmas break and the New Year's holiday to our second most downloaded interview episode with my aunt, Pam Eubank. We talked about the power found in hymns of the faith, focusing specifically on the hymn Day by Day by Lina Sandell, a hymn of assurance and trust in God's daily provision and grace. The episode traces the life of Lina Sandell, highlighting the pain and tragedy she experienced. And yet, despite these hardships, Sandell found solace in her faith and began writing hymns. Also in this episode, we heard one of the most talked about quotes in email and responses to this podcast, when my aunt said, "God does not give us grace for our imagination," reminding us that God gives us grace day by day for our current circumstances, and not for the worries and the fears of what might be in the future. We followed up episode 10 with another popular interview. One of the reasons I started this whole podcast to begin with, my daughter, Lily. And we discussed the phenomenal hymn, Jesus Loves Me. My girls bring such a delightful energy to my podcasts, and I love having them when I can. The episode traces the origins of this classic song of VBS and children's choirs back to the mid-19th century, introducing listeners to the remarkable Warner sisters, Anna Bartlett Warner and Susan Warner. Despite facing hardships, including financial ruin and the loss of their home, the sisters found solace in writing, eventually collaborating on the novel, Say and Seal. Within the pages of this novel, Anna penned a simple yet profound poem expressing the boundless love of Jesus Christ. Moved by her words, composer William Bradbury set the poem to music, giving birth to the beloved hymn, Jesus Loves Me. The hymn quickly found its way into hearts of churchgoers and Sunday school attendees across America, resonating with its message of unconditional love and grace. In the episode, we heard from Nathan Drake of Reawaken Hymns. But after the episode aired, Lily and I found an amazing EDM, electronic dance music version that was released by the Hymnal Project. And it's really, really cool. Check it out.
He is strong. Oh, yeah.
In episode 12, we focused on grace and the hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, exploring its origins and theological significance. We learned about Julia Harriet Johnston, who authored over 600 hymns, including this one that was inspired by Romans 5, 20, and 21, which says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Ah, such a great song. We went verse by verse and to the refrain, highlighting the themes of sin and despair, yet always coming back to God's boundless grace for us. In episode 13, we began the season of Lent. And we also introduced a rather obscure song by Martin Luther entitled From the Depths of Woe. The connection between the hymn and Psalm 130 provide a rich theological backdrop, emphasizing humanity's universal experience of sinfulness and our desperate need for God's mercy and forgiveness. The hymn itself serves as a powerful proclamation of the foundational truths of the gospel, highlighting the sufficiency of God's grace for salvation and the believer's response of trust and reliance on God's promises, and ending with Indelible Grace's amazing version of the hymn. On the heels of learning about the sufficiency of God's grace and how we should respond, we talked to my father, Steve Peavyhouse, about the well-known and timeless Fanny Crosby hymn, Blessed Assurance. I found an amazing version of this hymn on YouTube and quickly tried to get permission from the artists to have it on the podcast. But by the date of airing, I had not heard back. And so I was like, ah, I can't put it on there. About 3 weeks after this episode aired, I heard back from the bluegrass band Southern Raised, and they gladly gave permission to use their version of this song. So sit back and relax and let this beautiful hymn wash over you. This is Blessed Assurance by Southern Raised.
Story.
this is my song, praising my Savior all the day
back with another amazing interview with my 12-year-old daughter, Zoe, and talked about the stunningly beautiful hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee, written by William Ralph Featherston. Bringing her delightful perspective to this episode, we discussed Featherston's story of penning the poem at a young age, and talked in depth about why this hymn was so important to her. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen. Her understanding of how this hymn tells a story of greater and greater love for Jesus as we go through life is remarkable. The choice of hymn for episode 16, Man of Sorrows, What a Name, by Philip P. Bliss, was perfect for the week leading into Eastertide. As we dove into the profound sacrifice of Jesus and his redemptive work on the cross, we explored Bliss's life and musical contributions, then went in depth into a theological look at the hymn's lyrics, highlighting key biblical passages that underscore Christ's identity and mission, drawing connections to both the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. And then we did something new for this season and made two special episodes of Were You There When They Crucified My Lord that aired on Good Friday and There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood that aired on Easter morning. Both songs were perfect for this powerful weekend. I wanted to add another version of There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, done by Red Mountain Church Music. And we just didn't have time for it on that episode. It's a little bit different tune than you're probably familiar with, but it's a beautiful version of the song. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more.
In episode 19, we delve into Look Ye Saints, the Sight is Glorious by Thomas Kelly, looking into its history and theology and significance in worship. We explore the life of Thomas Kelly, describing his conversion to evangelical Christianity and his dedication to sharing the message of salvation through his hymn writing. We broke down each stanza of the hymn, diving into its rich theological themes. We discuss the imagery of Christ's exaltation, drawing connections to the biblical passages that speak of Jesus's victory over sin and death and hell and the very grave itself, and that we have life in him through what he has done for us on the cross, and that he now sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. Oh, it was a good episode. Our last episode, there's not much more I can say that hasn't been said about last week's episode. It's actually the longest episode we've ever had, at about 59 and a half minutes long. But we'll end today with a couple of stories that I loved but couldn't add in to last week's episode. So here are a few unaired clips from my interview with my aunt, Faye Peavyhouse, from last week's Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Even though you don't lead Young Musicians Choir anymore, what was it that you loved about introducing people, especially children, to hymns?
A great deal of my productive years were spent, my official title was the coordinator of the children's choirs. And we started, and I did not teach all of them, but mm-hmm. I was responsible for all of them. And we started at age 3 mm-hmm. and went through 6th grade, Young Musicians. Yep. And as you are aware, I directed the Young Musicians Choir, which was 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Mm-hmm. And one of our programs, suggested by Southern Baptist, this wasn't my idea, was hymn memory. Mm-hmm. And so every month, we would have a hymn, once again, selected by the convention, and the children, if they wanted to participate, could participate in the program. They learned all the stanzas of the hymn, and they could either sing it or say it to one of the helpers on my staff. And so in a choir year, you would learn 9 hymns with mm-hmm. all verses.
Yep.
I knew even then that, and I was much younger, but I knew even then that the importance of what we were doing there outweighed a great many other things that we might do in choir. We did a lot of stuff for fun because you need to with 4th, mm-hmm. 5th, and 6th graders. They need a peppy program that's very active, and that's why I don't do it now.
Yep.
But I knew then that this was an important thing for these children. This never goes away.
Mm-mm.
When my mother lay dying, I sang hymns to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you another interesting experience. I now sing in our senior adult choir, and occasionally we go to nursing homes, living facilities, and we'll bring a program of songs to them, most of which will be older hymns. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been in the choir at one of these assisted living facilities, and people will be brought in wheelchairs to enjoy our program. And sometimes you will see an individual that appears to be catatonic.
Mm-hmm.
There appears to be, you know his heart is beating, but that's about all. The choir will begin singing these old hymns, and you will see that head go up.
Yep.
And the first thing you know, you'll see the lips start moving. They know the words.
Yep.
And they are, to the best of their ability, singing with us.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to take Kleenex because I don't make it through those moments.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Hymns have a power all their own.
They do.
One of my prayers is that if I ever lose mental capacity, mm-hmm. that that Jesus will be so deep in my brain that that's all anyone will hear coming out of my mouth. I hope that's true. We shall see, I suppose. I had an opportunity to go on a 3-week mission trip to South Korea, and I was on a music team. And one of the experiences we had was singing with the South Koreans in church, and we sang How Great Thou Art. Mm. We sang in English. Yeah. They sang in Korean.
That's awesome.
And it was, I get chill bumps thinking about it.
It's amazing, because I've had this experience when I've been in Germany and when I was in, I've been to Brazil, and you're singing hymns, and it really does. It goes back to the hymns that last have lasted, and they're international.
Yes, like, they are.
That you can go to Brazil or to South Korea or to Germany, and you start singing How Great Thou Art, and I can sing it in English, and you can sing it in your language, and there is a heavenly perspective of praise that you get when you sing like that.
And you truly are brothers and sisters.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, you have a great deal that separates you, but you have the same Father.
Yes,
and absolutely. You know that you're brothers and sisters. One of the highlights of one of our services was a young Korean. She was probably in her 20s. And at the time, I was probably in my 50s. And we sang Under His Wing. And she sang one verse. And then we sang the chorus together, each in our own language. Mm-hmm. And then I'd sing a verse and back again to the chorus in our own language. And it had a unifying effect with, because we could not speak the same language. We had interpreters to interpret the sermon. But in just trying to have social occasions, and we had learned basic words. I had fun. The children got a big charge out of me trying to say Korean words, you know. And but the hymns brought us together.
Yeah.
And it, in spite of everything that separated us.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Bright Forever. And thank you for listening all season long. If you've missed any episodes from this season or last, feel free to go back and check those out. I hope this season has been an encouragement for you and for your family. I know it has been for mine. If you love our little podcast, please remember to follow us, to review us, and of course, to subscribe. And check us out on our website at thebrightforever.com. Post a comment on our Facebook page, or a review on our website, or any of the other myriad of platforms that you can find us on. And I'd love to hear from you. Consider sending us an email at podcast@thebrightforever.com. Or you can send us a message through our contact form on our website. You can even talk to us by clicking the radio microphone in the bottom right corner of the website and recording a message of up to 2 minutes, and let us know what you think of the show. And we would love to hear any ideas for next season of what hymns you'd like to hear us talk about. If you have any suggestions, please contact us and let us know what you want to hear us talk about next season. And if you feel called to help us reach larger and larger audiences with these amazing hymns, take a moment and go to thebrightforever.com and click the Support the Podcast tab in the menu. Or you can go down and click the Support the Show link in the show notes. You can subscribe by giving 3, 5, $8 or $10 per month, and you can join the Bright Forever Plus subscribers. And you can support us and what we're doing here at the Bright Forever. And if you're not ready to commit to every month, you can always click the yellow coffee icon at the bottom left of our page and give a $5 or greater one-time gift through our buymeacoffee.com supporters account. Thank you again for listening. I hope you have a great week and a wonderful summer. Before we go, let me close us out in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for a great season. Thank you for every chance I get to look into these amazing songs and dig deep into what they speak into our lives. We praise you for every opportunity we get to sing your truth over our lives and over our families. And continue to remind us daily not to forsake these powerful hymns that speak such deep truth into our hearts and minds. God, we love you. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory for all that you are and everything you do for us each and every day. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you again for an amazing season. And we'll see you back here for season 3. Until then, we're out.